Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. This is the house He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. As we begin our new church year next Sunday, I wanted us to think about a question which apparently some of you have answered yes and some of you had answered no to, and that is Sunday school necessary? You know, years ago, the best attended and most effective program of the Southern Baptist Convention was the Training Union, or BTU. But sadly, it declined over the years and died a slow death. And I believe the reason why is that people failed to appreciate the need for and the purpose of this program. And unfortunately, such may be the fate of Sunday school in today's society. Many attendees view Sunday school today as irrelevant, unimportant, and for children only. They believe that attendance at worship service is all the church they and their families need. That applies to people here in Ephesus. It applies to deacons here at Ephesus. It applies to young couples here at Ephesus who have children. They don't come to Sunday school, and therefore their children don't get exposed to Sunday school, and they miss, I believe, one of the most, if not the most important ministry program in our Baptist churches today, or in any church. So why do I stand up here in Ephesus Baptist Church and promote Sunday school? It's not mentioned in the Bible. It was not a ministry program of Jesus' ministry. So how did Sunday school begin? What are the purposes of Sunday school? And before we answer these questions, I want us to review briefly the history of Sunday school. It is important to realize that Sunday school was originally, literally, education organizations. They were literally schools. They were places for mostly poor children to attend and learn to read and write. You know, during the Industrial Revolution, the children worked 12 hours a day, Monday through Saturday, in factory jobs. So the Sunday school movement began in Britain in 1780s. Christian philanthropists desired to free children from a life of illiteracy. And since Saturday was a work day, the only day they could offer them education or schooling was on Sunday. And the English evangelical Anglican Robert Raikes was at the forefront or the key promoter of Sunday schools. He would see these children on Sundays roaming the streets in London, getting into trouble, and could not read or write. So he set up a Sunday school for such children. And as the Sunday school developed, and if you're interested, you should look at this in the library or maybe even on the internet. As Sunday school developed, they had Sunday school unions. Different regions of a country or different regions of a county or city would join a Sunday school union, and they would have uniform curricula. And most of the curricula came from the Bible, as we'll talk about in a minute. But this concept soon spread to America, and denominations as well as non-denominational organizations caught the vision and energetically began to create Sunday schools. And within decades, the movement had become extremely popular. And by the mid-19th century, Sunday school attendance was almost a universal aspect of childhood. Even parents who did not have any schooling or who did not even attend church themselves insisted that their children go to Sunday school. They were so appreciative of the fact that their children were getting an education which heretofore had been reserved to the wealthy that they wanted them in Sunday school to learn. And of course, religious education was at the core of these Sunday schools from the beginning. And more often than not, the Bible was the curricula that they read, that they learned, from which they learned to read. And also, they would learn to write by copying down passages of Scripture from the Bible. Many Sunday schools, if not most, had a basic catechism that was taught. And they also taught spiritual practices such as prayer and hymn singing. Teaching Christian morality and values was at the core of the Sunday schools. And many of the children who graduated from Sunday school went on later to become Sunday school teachers and developed a leadership skill that they would not have otherwise had. But by the mid-1870s, in both Britain and America, universal compulsory state education was established. Laws were passed so that children could not be forced to work adult jobs, could not be forced to work 50 and 60 hours a week, and they were required to go to what we now know as school. Reading and writing were learned on weekdays at these schools, and the Sunday school curriculum was limited to religious education. But nevertheless, many parents still believed that regular Sunday school attendance was an essential component of childhood. And this continued up until the permissive parenting age of the 1960s, when the widespread culture at that time was that children go to Sunday school whether they want to or not. And that culture was abandoned, sadly. When we became involved in the permissive 60s, including permissive parenting. So I want us to review the purposes of Sunday school this morning, but before we do so, I believe there are two important principles that we need to discuss. And the first principle is that purpose makes Sunday school special. Purpose makes Sunday school special. Sometimes we become confused and promote and celebrate an institution because of its tradition. But there's nothing in the name or the function of Sunday school which makes it special. It's special because of the purposes it fulfills. It's an organizational tool for reaching people, for ministering to them, and for helping them to grow spiritually. And the second principle is that organization is neither sacred nor is organization evil. You know, some people don't believe in Sunday school, don't attend, don't require their children to attend because it's organized. It's an institution. It has an organizational aspect to it. But you know, Jesus used organization. I don't know how many of you have thought of it from this aspect, but when Jesus fed the 5,000, he had the disciples organize the people there into groups of 150 in order that they could minister to them efficiently and properly. Sometimes when we start a tradition or an organization, we treat them as if they fell from heaven as a gift from God. They become the sacred cows. But you know, Sunday school, as when it first began in the United States, was not looked upon without suspicion. In fact, there was a big rift in the Park Street Church in Boston over whether they should even offer Sunday school. The reasons against it were it might be a desecration of the Sabbath. Now, we're talking about the Sunday schools that taught education. Might be a desecration of the Sabbath. Also, parents should stay at home and pray and meditate and teach their own children and not leave the house on the Sabbath and go to another location and teach other people's children. So it wasn't this sacred institution that was ordained by Jesus or by God in the Old Testament, but it evolved as a tool to serve God. So let's look at the purposes of Sunday school, and we begin first by looking at our text, which is found in Acts, the second chapter, verses 41 through 44. Acts 2, 41 through 44. Those who accepted his message, and his message was Peter's message. Peter was preaching. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And let's go on and read one more verse, verse 45. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. In this passage, we learn that the early church was fulfilling three purposes as taught by God's word. Number one, the church was reaching out to people with the truth concerning this man called Jesus Christ. And number two, the church was ministering to the people. We read where they sold all their goods or sold goods and pooled the money, the resources, and if someone had a need, they ministered to that need. And third, the church was helping people grow spiritually. They were listening to the apostles' teachings and were learning about the wonderful gift of eternal salvation to come. So let's look at these three purposes briefly, individually. First, the purpose of Sunday school is to reach out to people with the gospel. Indeed, such is the overall purpose of church, to spread the good news, to spread the gospel. In the first verse of our text, we learn that after Peter preached, that 3,000 people place their faith in Jesus Christ. This purpose to reach the people was also set forth in the command that Jesus gave in Matthew 28, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he repeated this command when he ascended to heaven. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, he said. So what does reaching people for Christ have to do with Sunday school classes today? Reaching people should be the focus of every organization in a church. And if reaching people is not our focus, then our focus is wrong. You know, several months ago, Ephesus sponsored Vacation Bible School here. And we began with a cookout. And each night we had refreshments. And at the end we had an ice cream social. But the purpose of Vacation Bible School was not to have a cookout, not to have refreshments, or not to have a social. The goal was to reach people. And I believe we were successful. We had a lot of young people and children from the community who did not attend here. They came. We had two families, which total 9 people, to come. And they've attended just about every Sunday since Vacation Bible School. Sunday school is the ideal vehicle by which people may be reached. To be a member of Ephesus Baptist Church, you have to come forward and profess your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior and be baptized. To be a member of a Sunday school class, you just have to show up and attend. And you become exposed to the Word. You become exposed to the good news, to the gospel. We grade Sunday school classes and assign a class the responsibility of reaching people in a specific age group. Children reach children, young adults, youth, youth, and adults, adults. They have a ministry command. They have a responsibility to reach out to those in their age group. And let me ask each of you who attend Sunday school, when was the last time you had some new members come in? As I said, we've had some come in since Bible school, but when they came in, did you reach out to them? Did you make them feel at home? Or is your Sunday school class like a glorified social club or a holy huddle that makes newcomers feel kind of unwelcome? The second purpose of Sunday school is to minister to people. We gather persons into ministry groups called Sunday school classes. And our text teaches that after the people were saved, then the church ministered to them. So when we establish a Sunday school class, we are assigning the responsibility to ministry. And Sunday school classes are good ministry tools. They provide a shepherding and caring ministry. Sunday school classes take meals to those who have had a death in the family or who had a loved one to undergo surgery or in the hospital. They pray with people when they've had a death. They cry with people when they're hurting. Sunday school classes do offer that ministry of caring and shepherding. Sunday school classes also provide a place for fellowship with other believers. Every believer needs a family group with whom they can share, care, and grow. And what better group than a group who attend God's host together and study God's Word together? Sunday classes also provide a ministry by building supportive relationships, by providing an opportunity for you to build supportive relationships. Loving relationships are needed by everyone. I don't care what anybody tells you, how tough they think they are, how independent they think they are. They need the love of fellow human beings. And what a better place than Sunday school to provide those loving relationships. The greatest honor in life is to minister to the needs of another. And often we forget that. Often we kind of poo-poo the value of ministry. But Jesus mentioned in Matthew, the 25th chapter, some seemingly insignificant ministry task which turned out to be pretty important. Remember, he said, "You gave a cup of water to the thirsty, and food to the hungry. You gave lodging to the stranger and clothing to the needy, and you cared for the sick and visited those incarcerated. And when you did the least of these, my brother, you did it unto me." In the church, sometimes we lose sight of the ministry needs of others. We sometimes become stuck in a trap of maintaining the institution of Sunday school, and we are here to minister to people. And Sunday school is a great means to do that. But we're not here just to maintain Sunday school. We're to use that tool to accomplish the goal that God's Word has commanded us to accomplish. Third purpose of Sunday school is to teach the Bible and help people grow spiritually. Now, Bible teaching should be at the center of all we do. We have Sunday school here where we study and teach the Bible. We have Wednesday night Bible study. But teaching the Bible is not an easy task to do. Studying the Bible is not easy to do on your own. But we must study the Bible in order to teach it, in order to let it be a part of our life, in order to let others see God's Word in us. And where better to study and learn the Bible than in Sunday school? As we teach and study the Bible, we should always keep in mind this saying: we teach the Bible for information so that people might receive inspiration, which will result in a life transformation. There may be some of you today who think it's this review of the purposes of Sunday school was insignificant. However, when we examine the role and purposes of Sunday school, we should be reminded of God's love for us. God desires a relationship with us. He is seeking us. He desires us to be a part of a spiritual family which He loves and supports, and which love and support each other. God desires us to grow into spiritual maturity. He doesn't want us to always be babies in Christ. And one of the best tools to reach that maturity or to continue on that maturation process is through Sunday school. God has provided us His Word to help us attain that maturity. And His Word is taught and studied in Sunday school. Sunday school, is it necessary? You bet it is. It's one of the most effective ways to obey Jesus' command for us to reach people, to minister to people, and to help them grow spiritually. We have an opening assembly here at 9:45 every Sunday, an opening assembly for Sunday school. We have classes, fortunately, they really started this month, but our new church year next month, we have new teachers, particularly for our youth and our children. They are excited about the potential for growth and for maturation of our children and young people. And we invite you to come to Sunday school. As a child of God, I think that's something we all should do, to learn more about Him, about His Word, so that we can let others see Jesus in us. And if you would like to come to Sunday school, you don't have to be a member of the church. Come on. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and you would like to become a member and participate in our Sunday school, or continue to participate for those who have been coming and have not yet joined, we invite you to do so.